Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Western Hills. My name is Rick. I'm glad you're here to worship with us. Let's stand and let's sing together. Two, three, four. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. Just can't get over. My name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over. My name is registered in heaven. My praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Yes, our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death. Of my story, I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Christ rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause Christ rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified.
I was waiting for the big, okay, have a seat. Welcome, glad you're here. Welcome to our online audience as well. If you're a guest of ours, we are so glad you're here. In your row, we have a connection card. You can fill that out. We've got these little black kiosk things out here at the exits as well as in the lobby. You can drop that off or hand it to somebody that looks important. And they may not know what you're talking about. Anyway, so that'd be great. It is officially the end of the summer, so I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but it is also that wonderful time of the end of the summer where I get to give the financial update, because I know that we're all really excited to hear that. Anyway, so here we are. As usual, summer giving is not all that great, 69% of the budget. However, we're still at 85% of the budget, which is actually pretty good for us. And so that's kind of good news. And the other good news we just heard on Friday is that the second round of Paycheck Protection Loan was forgiven. So that $64,000 now will go into our giving. So that was good. And so thank you for being a generous church and really appreciate that. Last kind of thing on my docket this morning is to introduce to you four candidates for church council. Now, we have three of our church council rotating off. These function as kind of our elders here. We have three rotating off, and we have these four rotating on: John Anderson, Dale Forster, Jen Mercer, and Larry Riggins. Their stories and kind of a little blurb about them are on our website. You can just go to whillschurch.org. There's a link right there on the front page. Or if you're really tech savvy right now and you just kind of like don't have anything else to do this morning, you can scan that QR code and that will take you to the website. Do that in the middle of the message. That's really not distracting at all. If I could be serious for just a moment about church council candidates, we have spent since May with these four candidates. So we have had a lot of meals with them, a lot of conversations back and forth, went through a process with them over the summer. And we really feel like that these are God's candidates for us. As many of you do know, our church council members serve on 3-year terms that can be renewed for one term. And so these four will be coming on. We are going to put these up here for folks to get to know them so that you can kind of put names and faces together. And next month in October, we will ask the congregation for affirmation on them. Now, the reason we do it this way is even though we've spent a lot of time with them and we've prayed through this and we really do believe this is the next round of leaders for us, one of the qualifications in scriptures for our spiritual leaders is that they have a great reputation with those even outside the church. So we make them known and we just kind of give it 30 days for folks to kind of to let us know, do these folks have a great reputation with you? And if on the off chance there is something that you know or something that you think we ought to know, we want to know. And so you can get a hold of me, you can get a hold of any of the pastoral staff. All of our contact information is on the website. You can grab us. We would really like to have a conversation if there's something up that we don't know. We don't think this is going to happen, but we always want to make this a part of our process. So this is an incredible morning for you to come and hear the next story in our series, This Verse Changed My Life. You're going to get to hear from Suzanne and Danny about a verse that kind of ambushed their family and took them to places that they didn't know that God had for them and that they needed to go as a family. And you're gonna be really blessed by this story this morning and how God used a verse to dramatically transform their family. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear this. Why don't you stand with me and we'll pray and then we will continue in our worship. Father, we love you. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being generous, generous with us, generous with your people in general, not just from a financial standpoint. That's just kind of easy thing to be thankful for. I'm thankful for leaders. I'm thankful for people who have surrendered to you, have a kingdom perspective, want to see people who are far from Christ come to know who you are and how much you love them and how they're willing to be obedient to you in the moment to see that happen. And particularly our four council candidates for sure, but also the story that we're going to get to hear this morning about how Danny and Suzanne have also wrapped their lives around this idea of that people are made in the image of God. They're made in your image and they matter. And they have importance simply because of that reason. And we're called to love these people where they are so that they can know how great and beautiful and good you are. So Father, we continue to worship you in a state of thankfulness, inviting you in your presence to nudge us, to speak to us this morning. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Let's continue in worship this morning. Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your goodness. God, we want to sing to you. And we know you're here with us because you've promised us that. God, I pray as we continue in worship, as we sing, as we listen to a story a little later, God, I just pray that your spirit would be moving in our hearts. God, that we would respond to that moving. God, you've got places for us to go, and God, I just pray that we would be willing to go there with you. Let's continue singing. Thank you for singing with us. You guys can have your seats.
Well, good morning. We got all our parts and pieces settled here. Hope you guys are doing great this morning. It's great to see you. Grant said, my name is Suzanne, and this is my handsome husband, Danny.
Hello.
If you haven't met Danny yet, Danny, everybody,
oh.
Danny.
So that's everybody. Hi.
We're in our second week of the This Verse Changed My Life series. And I just thank you, Grant, for unpacking John 3:16 in your life last week. I don't know about you guys, but I'm glad that happened because now we have him here and we're all here because of that. So so thank you for that. So, yeah, this is Danny. Now, you're not going to do what you did in the sound check, are you?
Which... No soloing Tom Jones into the mic.
There was singing. There might have been some dancing. But he's promised to behave, so we're going to be okay. So this week, as we kick off the second week of the series, I actually had a different verse picked out to teach. And the week that Grant teased it a little bit, Danny leaned over to me sitting over there in the front row and said, I know what my verse would be. And he told me later, and I recalled, yeah, that's the one. That's the verse that we need to unpack here together, because yes, it was your verse, but it also became a verse that affected our family in a really significant way as well. Me, our kids, our extended family, and others that God put in our path. So to kick that off, would you say, Danny, that it's fair to say that our lives changed on December 28th, 2018?
Yes, it did. At, of all places, a Love's Travel Shop in Burlington, Colorado.
Oh, well, isn't that where all life change occurs? Oh, Burlington, Colorado gas station. Yeah, that's the day we met Kevin. And we're going to share a little bit about that story today. But this series isn't about the story or the day that changed our life. It's actually about the verse that changed our life.
Yeah, so there is a verse at the center of this story, that of the events that happened there and what followed for the next 20 years. And for me, it starts even before that day. In fact, looking back, I can see that God was doing something in that moment that he wanted to use later. And that actually happened at youth group.
Wait, youth group. That was a long time ago for you.
Yeah, not me being in youth group, me working with youth group.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yes. So this was only about a month prior to this. And we were going through a study in 1 John. A couple weeks in, we're in chapter 3. And, you know, I'm just kind of like, as a youth leader, I'm like going through, yeah, I got this. Like, what questions am I going to, you know, challenge the kids with? Like, that's really what I got to look for. And then this verse came on the screen, and it says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Yeah. And it stopped me in my tracks. It stopped me cold. And I don't remember a lot else from that night.
I think that's a verse that stops a lot of us cold. And John here doesn't give us a command. He asks us a question. He asks you a question. If you have no pity, is the love of God even in you?
Right. And that's what got me was this question, because it was the day before, that was Wednesday, and on Tuesday, yeah, see, I work in downtown Denver. I worked in downtown Denver for 12 years. And everywhere you go, and on your train ride in, there's a person sleeping on the floor of the train. On this sidewalk, there's people lined up that are sleeping there, or they live there, and they're asking you for money or assistance in each corner. And, you know, every day was that reality. And it was that day before that I'd gone to lunch with a friend of mine. And right when we exited the building, you know, into the light, here's a guy in the wheelchair. Hey, buddy, can you help me? And I just didn't respond well. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, and maybe it's kind of what we have all probably done at some time in our life. I'm like, I fumbled through like a, you know, oh, I don't think I have any change on me. You know, I'm like, you know, what is money? I have, what is that? And, you know, I had nothing. It just kind of, I didn't respond well, and it bugged me. And there's something else about that verse, something I would kind of understand later. If any of you have the King James version of the Bible still, or read this verse in the King James, there's the translation of this, how it's actually translated is, if anyone shutteth his bowels of compassion. And I just, weird, right? Like, that's just strange. That can't be right. But yeah, the word there, I love that bowels, is this word of like your spleen, your intestine. And I was kind of thinking, you know, yeah, it kind of makes sense. You know, 70 AD, our knowledge of internal anatomy is not what it was today. And there was just this feeling like there should be this this wellspring of compassion that should flow forth and spring forth when a Christian sees a brother or sister in need. And that's just got to happen.
This idea that it bothers you to your core, that there's something inside that just bugs you.
Yeah, and so, but there I was, like in that youth group, staring at this question, you know, that was asked of me. And I wanted to answer it. I wanted to say, yeah, I got this one too. I got kindness in me. But all I could think about was how I responded to that guy. I didn't show him any compassion or pity. My insides were just fine that day.
Yeah. So here you are sort of in this place of conviction. You'd been bothered by your actions, and then God uses his word and pierces it straight to your heart. And this is where our story kind of picks up, the part that we would say changed our lives. This was just about a month later, right, after this happened. Mm-hmm. So it was just after Christmas, and we were traveling back to see our families in Oklahoma from Colorado. So we're traveling that I-70 corridor. I know a lot of you guys are familiar with the whole lot of nothing that's on that. but we were loaded to the gills. We were all excited. Grandma and Grandpa knew that we were coming, and we were hitting the road. But just before we left, friend called and said, did you know that the roads, that I-70 is closed? It's closed at the Colorado-Kansas border. And we're kind of like, oh, we looked it up, sure enough. We thought about what our plan would be, but eventually decided, you know what, we're eternal optimists. It's a few hours, I'm sure it'll be fine. It'll be cleared by the time we go. So we take off, and as we get closer and closer to that Colorado border, it's still closed, it's still closed, it's still closed. And we have this picture of ourselves like sitting on the highway for hours and hours with all these kids in the car. And we decided, you know, we better pull off before we get to that point. So we take that last exit in Colorado, yep, to Burlington, and as you said, the Love Station there. And I run inside with the kids, we're getting bathrooms and trying to figure out our plan. You stay out to pump some gas.
Yeah, and so it was, you know, I was kind of in that posture down, pumping my gas, and I heard this voice is like, you know, hello, hey, you know, do you think you could help me? And immediately my body was just like, oh boy, here we go again. I mean, we've all done this. Here's the story coming, whatever. So I looked up and there was this man, and he had with him a young boy, about 12 years old, his son. And they were both in riding clothes. And, you know, I had this sense, there's a lot going through my head then, but I had this sense that I just needed to stay in that moment. I needed to not just give him money to move him on, but I needed to talk with him. Just stay in that moment, if God's ever told you, just to like let this moment dwell a little bit. So I just started talking with him. What's going on? And I learned that they had ridden in on a little motorpad they had from a van. Their van had broken down just up Highway 70, the way we'd already come as they were going to Missouri. And you know, as I talked to him, I realized, you know, man, I have AAA. Like, I could have his van towed to the hotel they were staying at, you know, for next to nothing. No real cost to me other than the cost of time. Mm. And And so, you know, I just thought, I think that's what I'm going to try to do. So I kind of told him this. I invited him to come into the love station with me so I could kind of hook up with I found you mm-hmm. sitting in front of this huge 80-inch monitor of Kansas with its highway systems.
Yes, it was almost as big as that screen, but it was all red. Everything was closed, and we're trying to figure out, what are we going to do now?
Yeah, and so I kind of told you what I had in mind, and you were on board. Mm-hmm. And I remember Aaron was standing with you, and she said, Dad, we have to help them. We need to help them. I'm just like, you're right. And so, yeah, I got on the phone with AAA.
It was interesting because that moment you were on the phone, like you were literally making the arrangements for this tow truck to come, the entire screen turns green. So yeah. Everything opens back up. We are now free to go whenever we want to. But we kind of looked at each other, did some sign language, and decided, no, you know, we committed. We're in this. We're going to stay. We're going to stay here. So now we've got this couple of hours waiting for the tow truck with our whole family in the love station. We're kind of just messing around, doing silly things, trying on sunglasses, passing the time.
Yeah, like you said, they sent a tow truck out of Lyman. So yeah. I'm like, I've got like a 90-minute, two-hour wait in the love station just after Christmas with this guy and his son. So I was just, you know, I was just having a conversation with him. And he had a look like you have when you want to ask someone. And he turned to me and he said, I've been here for days. And I've asked thousands of people for money. And sometimes, you know, they'll say no, but most times they give $2 or $5 or $10. He said, no one's stopped to help me. And so he asked, why are you helping me? And I knew the answer. It was that verse. It is that verse that God had been breaking my heart over for the last month. And, you know, I've had to tell him. So I had my phone with me and I was like, you know, I said, here's the deal. Heaven, I'm a follower of Christ, which means I'm trying to be like Christ. And Christ loves you so much. He loves you like way more even than you love your son. More than I love my kids and my wife. And he loves us that much. And he tells me, and I even showed him in my eSword was like open. My app was open to the verse from youth from the month before. And I said, you know, he tells me if I've got the love of Christ in me and I see you and you need help, how can I not help you? And, you know, he just had this, look, and I realized it was this look of like, he was just pensive. Like he was having to think that and probably weigh that against the rest of what his life has been. And, you know, we got to have multiple conversations with him. We sat down, we had time. We were slowed down. We were paused. I got to have a personal conversation with him. I shared a lot of things with him. Our kids got to sit and have some chicken nuggets in the fine restaurant that was attached to Love's. Eventually our tow truck came and we got that all hooked up and I got the driver tips taken care of. And, you know, they got in the tow truck and they didn't need us to come. So we got a chance to do a couple things. We finally decided that we were going to gift them a week in their hotel to let them kind of have some rest, get on their feet, focus on their van, getting it repaired. And also we exchanged numbers. Our kids exchanged numbers. And there was a lot of excitement about that. There weren't a lot of, you know, people to exchange numbers with for this person and his son. And at that point, we were able to get back on the road.
Yeah, so we kind of take off in some ways thinking, oh, you know, we did our good deed for the day, but now we're back on track. We're going back to our plans, family, Christmas, yahoo. And so in some ways, we were kind of like, that was the end of it and moving on. But there was something also that was sticking with us, because one of the things that we had learned in the conversation with us is that for him, his van wasn't just his van. His van was his home. This wasn't a guy stuck on a road trip on the way from one place to another. That was the place he was living. And that's the part that I'm getting goosebumps now. Like, yeah. We just couldn't quite shake that picture.
Yeah, and I learned he lived there for 3 years. They were doing this for 3 years.
Yeah. So we, as we got to our family's house in Oklahoma and we explaining why we were late, this and that, we actually had the opportunity, I remember so vividly, to sit down with Danny's family, and we prayed. After we shared the story, we prayed for Kevin, for his situation, that it would be resolved, for any way that God would be leading us to continue to help in this situation. And that was really a special thing, to bring them into part of that story. And much to our surprise, over the next couple days, Kevin used Danny's number quite a bit.
Yeah.
He called and was processing through, and this is what's happening, and giving us updates. And a few days in, we learned the van is toast. The home is toast. Now they really have nowhere, nothing. And I think he may have even been asking us to extend the time in the hotel for him. But we, you know, through that process, again, we'd started to have these conversations. And so as we're telling our families a story, a couple of really cool things started to happen. My parents said, you know what? I have these coats and some winter gear that we live in Oklahoma. We were getting ready to donate to the Goodwill. Would he be able to use them? And Danny's brother, as Danny told him about what was happening, said, you know, I've got this old truck sitting in my yard that my wife's been nagging at me to get rid of. I don't really need it anymore.
So it's
it was a
1998 Ford Explorer.
1998 SUV, Ford Explorer.
Less than 200,000 miles.
And so he said, can I just give that to Kevin, this man that he never knew? And so what started to happen there was this really cool thing where, you know, God was using not only us in this situation, but our connections to help Kevin make his next step.
Yeah, and it turned out that the last day in the hotel for them was just going to happen to be the exact day that we would be coming back through Burlington to go back home to Colorado, where we lived. And so we drove that truck to him. And we got a chance to fill it up with some things they might need and have a great visit with them in their hotel room and really kind of spin some excitement. He was excited. I mean, this is a guy who was excited to see this truck. This is mine. And like, it's yours, bill of sale, everything. You know, they actually, that wasn't even the last encounter. This wasn't a one-time thing that God had constructed. They actually went and did their work in Missouri, and then they came back and used Colorado as kind of their home base to drive around, staying as close to us as a nomadic family can. And we would periodically, because of that, meet up with them, mm-hmm. help them, push on them a little bit, and even at one time we got a chance to take them to a Rockies game. You know, God had been setting up this relationship to be a long-term relationship.
Yeah, and it lasted for 2 more years. I mean, at that time, a couple more years, and our life did change pretty dramatically.
Yes.
Because of this verse and then this encounter. I know the way you spent your time changed a lot. You spent a lot of hours on the phone and on texts, walking him through stuff, listening to what he had to say, trying to guide him. Having a lot of that bounce off on deaf ears, but really just being there for him. And so it definitely changed you. Through that, we were having constant conversation and constantly praying about what approach we should take, how we should respond in these situations. And guys, naturally, that bled over to our kids. When we're crying and praying and just agonizing over this person who had randomly come into our lives, but now we were loving like a brother, you know, they saw that, and it started to change the way that they saw people, and it still does. Our extended family, they continue to call and check in. They'd be like, hey, how are you guys? How are the kids? How's Kevin and his son? Like, this was part of what they would always ask. And then, do you remember our life group?
Yeah,
our life group would
absolutely.
Just spend time almost every week praying with us, getting the updates, helping us discern what we should do, and really just supporting us through those challenging times, and there were lots of those.
Yeah, there were a lot of conversations that came with a lot of highs and lows and a lot of like victory and failure. There were times where I would see the same pattern that wasn't working repeated, and I would try to, you know, I'd gotten some you know, some relational collateral built up. I tried to push and to the right direction. You know, sometimes it frustrated me so badly. So many times I was like, man, if I'd given this guy $20 and just walked away, like no one could say I didn't have pity and I didn't do the right thing. I didn't do a good thing. And, but it always would come back to this verse. What's inside me? Mm-hmm. Are my insides broken over this man and his situation? Do I hurt for him? Do I love? Do I even love him? It's the love of Christ in me. All these things would come back to this verse.
Ooh, he became really, truly like a brother.
Yeah, and in many ways also like a kid too, because there were a lot of behaviors that I had to think of it more like my own kid.
Eventually, we kind of came to this place in our relationship. I don't know how you'd describe it, but a little bit of an impasse where, again, we'd been pushing a little, and I think you even got some emails of saying this relationship is over, not in those nice words. But, we were also juggling. So we weren't sure what the future of the relationship would be. We're also juggling at that time. This is when the pandemic starts. And so we are figuring out boundaries. Like, we can't really see anyone. Can we see this person who's wandering around? And so our relationship sort of became in question. And for us, laying over all of the top of that, and I've shared some of this with you guys before, God was moving us to Kansas. And so we were not anymore going to be in the vicinity where they had kind of made their home base. And so we actually weren't super eager to tell them about that move because we weren't really sure. It seemed like God was bringing this relationship to a close in some ways. We thought it might be ending. But it turns out God wasn't quite done yet.
No, and it was literally less than a week after we moved to Topeka. We didn't have any furniture. We were literally on the floor in our house. I got a call from Kevin, and he had been writing with some friends, trying to do something nice for a friend of his, and he'd been stranded in Oakley, Kansas, with literally nothing except for his guitar. And I was like, I was just listening to this, and I'm like, you know, I was talking with him, just calming him down, you know. The next night, we got another call, and the sheriffs of 7 counties had moved him one county at a time east to Salina, Kansas. And here he is. He's afraid. And he's like, he knows he's moving further. He thinks he's moving further and further away from me and help. And if I can't get him in Oakley, I can't get him in Salina. But what he doesn't know is we've moved to Kansas, and he's now only an hour and a half away. And this is where we were praying, and that impression of child came. And it's like, I really felt like God wants me to go pick up his kid. It's time for me to go pick him up. And so we talked about that, and the next day I decided that I would wake up early and I would drive to Salina and pick him up, and I got to spend about 6 hours in the car with him as we drove. I drove him to Columbia, Missouri. When he got to Missouri, some of the things kind of started to fall into place for him, and there was a lot more to come, but it kind of started to fall into place for him.
Yeah. So that kind of brings us to the end of that section of the story that God had. We don't know what he'll do in the future, but I think all of this brings us back to a bigger question. And that bigger question is the question we're asking in the series. How did this verse change our lives? And I think you and I would agree that it certainly did change our life in the context of what happened with Kevin in that story, but it's not like there was a pretty bow wrapped on it and, oh, here you go, go teach a message. It wasn't like that at all. I think the most significant impact that it was for us is that it taught us something. It changed us because of what God put in us and changed in us.
Yeah, and for me, I definitely had this sense that there's times in our lives when God wants to stir. He wants to impress something on us. He wants to have his word heard. He communicates with us. And in those moments where we think, am I having this moment? We need to pause. We just need to pause. And in that space, in that pause, in that sort of, God, is that you kind of moment, or in the obvious moment where you're cut, you know, that's the time that God can fill that up. The Holy Spirit can fill that up and start changing your life. He can change the life of everyone around you. Those are the kind of moments we need to find. And yeah, and even a scripture that I'd read, I don't know, 100 times before, he used that. You know, what he stirs in us now, he's stirring something in us now that he can use later, he wants to use later in our lives.
Yeah, I think you kind of mentioned that earlier. That to me is what our take-home point is for today. That what God stirs in us now, he wants to do through us later. He's starting something in the beginning that he wants to use. And that's certainly what happened here, as you described. He used that word to penetrate to your core.
Yeah.
And then the Holy Spirit guided us specifically in how to respond. And you guys, this is our story. And the details of this story are unique to us. But you each have your own story.
Absolutely.
And even though God used it in this certain way with us, he wants to do the same thing with you. The gift of that way that the Holy Spirit and God's word work in tandem to speak personally and directly to us, that is a gift that is given to every believer. So you have that power within us. I love these two verses. I know.
Yeah, I mean, so Hebrews 4:12 is talking about the word of God. It's alive and active. Certainly for me in that youth group, it was alive and active. It says sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the point of dividing the soul from the spirit and the joints from the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I mean, that is exactly what happened with 1 John 3:17 with me.
Mm-hmm. And then he tells us in John 16 and other places in the New Testament about the Spirit and how the Spirit then guides us and takes us on this journey to where he wants to lead us next forward into his truth. So with these two things, his word and his spirit, he inspires us, he guides us, and he motivates us. And guys, this isn't in just general ways. This is in very specific, practical ways that he speaks clearly and directly into our lives. And that's his job. That's what he does.
Yeah, I mean, God does his part, right? He stirs something in us at a given time, something that he wants to use in our lives later. But we have a part and a job in this too. And that's our part's to pause, to recognize that, to find those times in our daily lives where we feel like maybe the Spirit of God speaking to us, and maybe there's something here for me. And, you know, we need to stop and recognize that, acknowledge it, be ready. We need to be ready and be prepared to respond and see where God's wanting to take this. You know, we need to be paying attention as we're going through our daily life to those places where God wants to speak. And it's very important because that's where our response is most powerful. It's so powerful. That's what he did in me. You know, his word, like the verse said, just cut me to the bone and it stopped me. And I paid attention. It cut me to the core, and the Holy Spirit guided me in this event that God put in place. I couldn't have constructed that situation, and here he put the situation. He's like, now you're ready to go have that experience. And it changed me. It changed the lives of the people around me. It certainly changed Kevin and his son's life.
You guys, Grant always talks about, and he prays quite often, that God's voice would always be the loudest in the room. We want that, don't we? Like, we want to hear his voice. We ask for that. We pray for that. But we have to ask ourselves this morning, are we ready for that? Are we ready to hear God's voice? Are we willing to pause, to pay attention, to be ready to accept that he may be speaking to us in that moment? And that's the challenge that we have for you today, is that when God's voice, whether it be loud in your ears or a whisper, whether it's something that's heavy on your heart or that stirs you in some way, that jolts you, maybe it's an emotion, a thought, something from his word, maybe it's a conversation, that you would be ready for that to come and live in anticipation of the fact that God wants to speak through to you, through his word and through his spirit, in those very specific ways? Are we ready to respond? Because maybe, just maybe, he's stirring something in you now that he wants to do through you later. As we close today, we have something a little bit fun to help you remember this. You guys know these now and later candies.
Yes.
Let's see, who do we have? Our volunteers. Erin's back there too. She's going to bring, they're going to bring these and pass the baskets around. This is a different kind of pass the plate this morning. You get to take from instead. So grab.
Grab these candies. You can, hey, if you want to eat them now, you can. They actually will last for a good 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, these things are never going to go bad.
I think the space shuttle was lined with them as tiles for reentry. if you want to eat, use the wrapper as a little bookmark to kind of, you know, remind you that this word is ready now to be powerful in your life.
However you want to do it, keep this by you for a while and let it be a reminder to you that God is the God of now, that he's stirring something in you now, that he wants to use in you later. So let this be a reminder to you to be ready and to pay attention to what he's doing. Put it on your dresser, put it on your desk, your dashboard, eat it and keep the wrapper, however you want to do it. But know that his word and his spirit are ready, are you. He's the God of now and later. You want
to
pray for us?
I love to pray. I love to pray for us. Lord, I'm so glad that you are a God who speaks. God who speaks to us personally. You have the Holy Spirit to bring us conviction at certain times, and you have your word, the Bible, to bring these sharp words to convict us and to get us stopped and thinking. And I just want to pray for people here that already know this, or people that are just learning it. Maybe there's some people here that don't know you at all. Pray for all of them that they have an experience, that they can hear and have a moment to pause and just take in your word, what you're trying to say in that moment. Maybe there is someone that they can touch, or some kindness that they can do. Maybe it's just some wisdom that you're trying to impart to us. Maybe it's a word of peace in a moment of trouble. But whatever it is, Lord, you are quite capable of making that. We should expect it. We should be ready for it. We're ready for your action when you take it. And there's going to be times in our lives when someone's going to come up and say, hey, buddy, can you help me? And we want to be able to answer, yeah. Yeah, we have the love of Christ in us, and we're prepared. Lord, I thank you for all these things. I thank you for all the people here that are here with us and that are listening over the internet webcast. Thank you so much that you're that kind of God who loves us so very much. Ask for all these blessings in your name's sake. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you guys for that. So as you guys wrestle with whatever it is that God is nudging you towards, what your response needs to be, we want to help you. We want to come alongside you. Like Danny and Suzanne talked about, as they were going throughout this journey, they had family, but also their small group and other people in their life who were helping them in that. And so we want to give you some tools, some tangible steps to connect with us. And so as you can see on the screen, we would love to connect with you. An easy way, if you're in person here, is in your seats next to you, there should be a little connection card. So you can fill this out, especially if you're new here. We would love to connect with you and just get to know a little bit about you. And then from there, we can see if you need to get connected in a small group, in a connect group, or if you just need to connect with staff or somebody here to help you process next steps. We would love you to take that step with us. If you're online, you can go to our website, and there's a little connect tab, and it'll be a digital version of this. But either way, we would love for you to connect with us so we can take those steps with you. If you are filling out our hard copy, like Grant said, you can drop those in our connection kiosk on your way out, the little black boxes by the doors, so that we can reach out to you. This is also where, if you just need prayer, if you need us to come alongside you with prayer requests, whatever that looks like, There's a spot on here for you to fill that out. We'll get in touch with you, pray with you and for you and see where that goes. That's also where you can give if God is nudging you to join the work of his kingdom through giving of your financial resources. You can drop those in the connection kiosk. Again, if you're online, you can do that through the give link on our website. One last specific note for getting connected. If you're new here and you've just not connected in any way with us, next Sunday, we're going to be having our next, what we call starting point. And so that is September 19th, and it will happen during first service, so the 9 o'clock service. What it is in the south lobby, a group of us will be gathered together, staff, Grant, Suzanne, myself, and we'll be there just to share with you who we are as Western Hills Church, why we do what we do, why we believe what we believe, and why we worship the God we worship. And it'll just be a quick glimpse into who we are. And so we would invite you to that if you are new here, because then we can give you some more of those tangible steps for connecting to God's church. So with that, I'll invite the rest of you to stand with me. And just like we've been doing the last few weeks, we're going to read our blessing over each other as we go out from here, just as this constant reminder of the spirit with which we leave these walls and go out into the world and live out the reality of Jesus. So I invite you to read this with me, and it'll be on the screen. In Christ, you go nowhere alone. Wherever you go, God is there. Wherever you are, God can work through you. He gives purpose to your being there. Christ who dwells in you has something to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, love, and power. Go be the church. Have a good week.